The West Live. The West Live with Jenna Clark. Brought to you by Neds. Take it to the Neds level. Gamble responsibly. 1-800-858-858.
Just when we thought WA had nailed its COVID response, along comes another bloody ship from overseas carrying infected crew members. It's opened a whole can of worms up in Port Hedland, where the Health Minister, Roger Cook, flew back from last night. Minister, thank you so much for your time this morning. You spoke with the locals at a community meeting yesterday. What were they telling you?
Yes, good morning, Jenna. And we had a great day yesterday speaking with staff, Waymat, port workers, but also with the community meeting last night. And obviously there's a level of anxiety in the community around the COVID-19 pandemic generally. That's now been certainly elevated as a result. Parked off the shores, 18 nautical miles off Port Hedland, and of course the unwell crew members that are in our hotel quarantine.
Yeah, of course.
But it was a really good meeting, Jenna. It was really constructive. I think everyone came away from it really appreciating the information that was provided, particularly by our medical experts on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to really just answer any questions or concerns that were raised.
Yeah, and I think it's also great, just to give you a bit of a tip, good on you for going up there in front of the community, as we've spoken to a number of stakeholders up there, basically calling for more information and a lot of transparency. So it was great that you sat down with them. I guess we saw images published online overnight about a woman, a potential health worker, that was spotted attending to crew members without any PPE. Is she now in quarantine?
Well, look, my understanding is she wasn't a healthcare worker, okay, but was certainly a member of the Department of Health, WA Country Health Service.
Right.
The information I have at the moment is that she did not come within approximate distance, certainly not 2 metres of the crew members, and was not considered a close or casual contact. I'll be speaking again with the department today just to get reassurances about the way that we're managing her and her situation. Look, there's two lessons coming out of this, though, Jenna. One, you can never be too careful with this disease.
Yeah.
Never be too careful. And this is a warning for everyone, not just healthcare workers, that we cannot take our safety for granted. And two, it was a bad look for our health team. We have been saying to people all along, you know, you've got to do the right thing, protect yourself, protect your family. So I was particularly disappointed to see her not wearing PPE in the frame. But I'm assured by the health team that she isn't a public health risk.
Right. In terms of where the crew members are isolating, they're at a hotel and there's a 2 metre radius around that. Some people were telling us that apparently the Port Hedland Detention Centre would be a more appropriate place. What do you say to that?
With the interagency support group that which is made up of organisations and agencies right across the Pilbara who are coordinating our public health effort. They're doing a great job, so kudos to them. I raised this issue with them yesterday. They told me that centre is actually very run down and wouldn't be habitable. Certainly, however, the Commonwealth Government has made it very clear that they're not prepared to utilise any of their Commonwealth detention facilities for that quarantining arrangement. Look, I went and had a look at the quarantining arrangements yesterday for myself. There is police, security and ADF personnel on board in addition to our on-site, in addition to our health and welfare teams. The way the hotel is actually configured is that this is a very separate wing of the hotel. So it's able to be completely fenced off as well. And so we've erected a large fence around the perimeter of the hotel section. So it's actually an ideal setup in terms of making sure these crew members don't present any sort of public health risk to the community.
That's great. I guess a lot of people would have watched the horrific scenes unfold out of Victoria, and when there was talk of sending private security guards up to attend to these people in isolation, there was a bit of concern amongst locals and medical professionals down here in Perth. What type of training have those people had to ensure that we don't see the same thing that happened in Victoria?
Yeah, so look, there's a world of difference between the arrangements they have in Victoria and those arrangements that we have in place in Western Australia. So to our security personnel, they're actually a select group from a select group of companies. Right. Each of the security guards has to undertake infection control training and from that perspective, they're not just your everyday security guards. These are people who have got extra as a result of the needs of these facilities. In addition to that, Jenna, we've got our health and welfare teams on the ground. Mm-hmm. Every hotel has at least 3 doctors, 9 nurses, logistics people, coordinators, administrators, and they continue to watch the watches, if you want a better description. So we have direct oversight of the facilities, and certainly in terms of infection control, we drive a very tough show.
Yeah.
So in relation to the situation in Port Hedland, we actually flew 12 of the security personnel to the facility yesterday. Mm-hmm. I spoke with a number of them yesterday, and they were very proud of their qualifications, their extra experience and training. And like the ADF and the police that are on guard, they're keeping that whole situation in tight lockdown.
That's great. We saw you yourself and the Premier front the media this week to talk about the softening of the hard border, and next week we'll see people coming in from other places around the country, and they won't have to isolate in a hotel. The new G2G app, where it'll kind of take away the onus of cops having to go around to people's houses to check on people. Are you comfortable with the technology, and will it work given the shortcomings of other apps we've seen during this crisis, such as, you know, the WhatsApp group and also the COVID Safe app?
Yeah, look, and we are. We have been developing this this software over a long period of time. It hasn't just popped up in the last week or so. We've been working on this one for a long time.
Yeah.
And so we are very confident of the technology. But what we're also confident of, this will free up police resources, but also just stop people having coppers roll up at their doorstep, which some people, you know, would prefer was not the case.
It's a bit confronting for some people.
Well, indeed. And, you know, sometimes, you know, people don't think it's the best look for their neighbours, but I'm comfortable with it, I must say. But look, we've noticed that there's been a significant number of people who have now downloaded the app. Already we're seeing hundreds of people pinged or check in remotely via the app. So just in the first 48 hours, we've seen a big uptake of that. So it's clearly a winner.
Yeah.
And I think this is a real key. This sort of innovation and digital technology will be a real key for just allowing us to have the same quality guards and precautions, but, you know, allowing us to open things up a lot more.
In terms of the tech, and I'm sorry if I don't know where it's all originated from, but was it, you know, locally produced, and would this be a potential thing that you're really keen to lean into into the future, that health and technology really coming together, especially if it's being developed out of WA?
Yeah, great question. And yes, well, I can confirm it's the same local company that helped us put the G2G app together. So this is world leading. We've already had some interest nationally about the app and how effective it is. And so we're very proud of that development. And look, the combination of good remote health utilising digital technology is the way of the future, not only in terms of these sort of public health crises, but just in the way we deliver healthcare generally.
Yeah.
It's an outpatient appointment, an appointment with your local GP, particularly people living in isolated regions of Western Australia. You know, the future for healthcare is really a digital future, and it's great to see we've got local WA firms with the capability, the drive and the innovation to really develop these sort of great sort of applications.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Back to that bloody ship. How are you? I mean, how do we trust countries where ships are originating from? Because you've said before that you sort of feel a bit let down by the Philippines and their response to COVID. I guess moving forward, do you think that what we saw in Port Hedland, that will be your initial response should this happen again?
Look, The health system is like a shield for Western Australia. Our public health teams have done a great job developing Western Australia's shield to protect us from any viruses that are coming from overseas. Mm. But look, we want to stop the arrows and the spears coming at that shield in the first place. Mm. And you know, certainly the situation with this crew, my understanding is that they didn't have a consistent regime in relation to quarantining ahead of their departure from Manila. Mm-hmm. It really invites questions as to how robust those processes are. And one of the purposes of catching up with the Pilbara Port Authority yesterday was really to explore, okay, how can we ensure that crews have an opportunity to switch through through vessels in a much more efficient and disease-free way?
Yeah.
Clearly, dropping into Manila, picking up a fresh crew is not the solution.
Yeah.
And we need to make sure that we've got robust processes right across the world. WA is an international trader, and and Port Hedland is literally the engine room of our national economy. Yeah. So we need to get that stuff right.
Yeah.
Having said that, Jenna, one of the really interesting stats which was brought up to me yesterday is that since COVID-19 hit, we've had over 4,000 vessels go through the Pilbara Port.
Right.
In addition to that, that includes over 100,000 crew members that have come from all over the world.
Wow.
and moving through that port. So the fact that we've only had this single outbreak, you know, the odd disease here and there, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, flu, some injuries, things like that, we can fix crews up.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that we've had so many come through, literally 100,000, and only had this one particular outbreak, really is a sign that the systems are good, but we want them to be more robust.
Yeah, of course. In terms of the slings and arrows potentially coming from over east when things sort of relax a little bit next week, how are you feeling about it? Are you nervous for us here in WA?
No, look, we're very confident of our hotel arrangements now. We've had a number of months to hone them.
Mm-hmm.
All our active diseases are in our hotel quarantining system. It is robust. It is tight as a drum. So when the numbers increase in the next over the next couple of weeks, we think we do have the capacity to manage those numbers, particularly now that we're allowing Victorians to quarantine at home.
Mm.
That's going to free up more capacity in our hotel system. And as I said, our hotels have kept us really safe to date. We're very confident of the processes and the procedures around. So we'll be able to welcome more Aussies back home, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. The footy on Saturday night, it's an absolute sellout at Optus Stadium, so around 36,000 people will be heading down. What's your advice to punters that are heading along to watch the game for the Eagles?
Oh, look, cheer to your horse for the Eagles. is my number one advice. But the second advice is, look, the virus is still in our community. We cannot let our guard down. So even though you're going to the footy, and look, everyone, enjoy yourself and cheer for the Eagles.
Obviously.
But make sure that you can continue to try to look after your personal hygiene, your physical space and your physical distance. Need to, as a community, continue to be vigilant. We want to continue to open up our economy. We want to make sure that families and communities can continue to socialise and be together. The way we can do that is by all taking personal responsibility to undertake those measures. And of course, Jenna, you know, the final point which has to be made is that if you are unwell in any way, stay away from the footy, stay away from work, stay away from school, even though it's school holidays, so you do that anyway. but above all, make sure you get yourself tested.
Yeah, absolutely. Health Minister, it is the budget will be handed down federally, and also Treasurer Ben White will hand down our local one next week. Health is a massive portfolio. What are you hoping to see come out of both?
Well, obviously, we need to continue to make sure that we can invest heavily in healthcare. I think COVID-19 has demonstrated to us just how important a strong public health system is, and the McGowan government will continue to invest strongly to make sure that we have a system which is world class. But there's no doubt about it, we're all going to be under pressure in relation to the budget. I expect to see a sea of red ink across the federal budget, and we need to continue to make sure we keep a lid on any growth in the health budget. That is, make sure that growth is only on the basis of efficient delivery of healthcare.
Mm.
But continuing to make sure that health is our number one priority.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess WA has handled COVID so well, but then we see some stories such as, you know, a lack of ambulances in Perth's northern suburbs and things like that. What would be your main priority to see in the budget next week, and your main priority moving forward as Health Minister once COVID sort of dissipates into the rearview mirror, fingers crossed?
Yeah, well, we're about to conclude a contract with the St John's Ambulance for another 2 years of their their service mm-hmm. to the community. Mm-hmm. So we need to continue. And one of the important changes which we'll make is fund St John's Ambulance based upon their demand and their volume of work, rather than just a single number that we put up in each contract.
Yeah.
That will be a really important development, because it allows us to continue to grow the budget for St John's consistent with the demand patterns across the metro area, mm-hmm. which will set us up better for the future. That's an important reform. In relation to health expenditure, obviously we need to make sure that our emergency departments remain number one
yeah.
and continue to be able to see patients, that we continue to drive down the elective surgery wait list, which banked up over the COVID-19 period, and we need to continue to see strong investment in our hospitals. But Jenna, one of my key focuses at the moment is to make sure that we get a good stream of funding around mental health services as
mm-hmm,
well.
Mm-hmm.
Look, we've had a COVID-19 global pandemic. I think mental health is going to be the next global pandemic which impacts on Western Australia.
Yeah, absolutely. What did you make of President Trump during the election debate yesterday? I know you're a busy man, so you probably didn't see it, but he said that a vaccine is very close, potentially a week away. What do you make of that?
Well, yeah, that's just rubbish. it's not just a week away. But what is exciting is to see the way we are continuing to treat the virus and advances in relation to that, and advances in relation to how we test for the virus, which will allow us to continue to manage the disease much better. There's a lot of work going on internationally around a vaccine. It certainly won't be here in a week.
Yeah.
It certainly won't be here in a month.
Yeah.
But that work is ongoing. And maybe sometime in 2021, we might see some emerging in the marketplace. And of course, health has done a lot of work in the meantime to make sure when that does happen, we're in a position to roll any vaccine out across the state as quickly as possible.
Absolutely. Well, it's good to chat to a politician who knows what he's doing, Health Minister Roger Cook. Thank you so very much for your time. I'm sure you're super busy, so we'll let you get back to it. We'll chat to you again soon on The West Live.
Thanks, Jenna. All the very best.